HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello and welcome to Mint. I am Nasreen Sultana. You are listening to All Things Markets, where I speak to experts analyzing the big trends moving the stock markets. Oil prices climbed to $77 per barrel last week, its highest in nearly 3 years, as a result of a deadlock over the UAE's production quota. Even as the spread of COVID-19 variants and unequal access to vaccines threaten the global economic recovery, crude oil prices remain critical for many importing countries like India. So, how does rise in crude prices impact Indian markets and economy? And overall, will rise in crude prices shrink margins of Indian companies? To understand that, I'm joined by Naveen Kulkarni, CIO, XS Securities. Hi Naveen, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi Nasreen, thank you.
So Naveen, as we speak, there is a concern somewhere about the increasing price of crude, Brent crude prices. And overall this year, we have seen Brent crude prices also touching $75 per barrel. According to you, how risky it is, and not only for the global markets, but also for India?
So let's look at the crude prices. See, crude prices over the last so many years have been pretty much range-bound. They haven't increased much. There are, of course, structural challenges for crude in the long term, but there are also short-term factors. Right now, what we are witnessing is that inventories across the world have been coming down at a significant pace, right? So that's also which is why it is resulting in increase in the crude oil prices. At this juncture, where crude oil prices stand, I believe that it's not in a very, very challenging zone. Of course, the end product prices have risen quite significantly because of the taxation aspect. However, what I want to say is that the current prices are not very, very challenging. I would say that till somewhere in the range of around $85 also, we are, I would say, in a manageable zone. But post that number is where the challenges will start emanating, and I think they will put a significant pressure on the overall government budget as well as the inflation numbers. So that is the broad view that I have. The prices up to a certain point are a challenge, but beyond that, up to a certain point are manageable, which is, let's say, $85. Beyond that is where I see significant challenges emanating both from an economic perspective, from inflation, as well as managing the fiscal deficit.
Okay, so your 85 meaning that there is still a room for, still a comfort room till there is no increase of $10 per barrel. But otherwise, as you also mentioned, the end product, the petrol diesel prices, which a consumer or a company purchases for their own raw material or an input that they require to make their own products, that has also increased, of course, for various reasons. But how do you think this high fuel prices will impact corporate earnings in the first quarter and also in the entire fiscal? Because starting from March, we have seen an increase of crude prices along with the other raw material costs like your metals.
So this is a very, very interesting problem, which is how the input costs or crude-related input costs are going to impact overall corporate earnings. So there are again two ways to look at it. So what is crude as a percentage of input cost input cost for various sectors? So there are let's say a few sectors where crude is a significant part of the input cost, which is, let's say, sectors like FMCG, where crude is used in packaging material, it's used in detergent, crude derivatives are used in detergents, crude derivatives are used in LLP product, which is light liquid paraffin in making of cosmetics, so on and so forth. So that is where there can be an impact, or there could be compression in margins. But FMCG companies overall, from a medium-term perspective, are able to take price hikes and they are able to pass on the input costs. So they can be fairly, they are quite okay managing that. However, so what happens because of crude is that is the overall inflation scenario, how that changes and what it can have as an impact in terms of the interest rate scenario. I think that's something which is going to be very, very interesting, because if interest rates actually start moving up, that will put a significant amount of pressure on the banking system. Right. So it's not a very, very straightforward measure. So input crude prices going up, leading to higher inflation, which leading to higher interest rates will mean lower treasury gains for banks and also treasury losses rather. And also eventually will have a problem in terms of credit offtake, so on and so forth. Right. So those are the aspects which are going to be more interesting to watch out for. But as I said, at this point in time, it is still in a manageable zone. In fact, it is probably in that sweet spot, I would say, the overall inflation scenario, which is having a positive impact on the supply side product prices, and that's actually resulting in higher revenues. So we are in a very, very interesting zone where the higher input costs or the higher commodity prices are not necessarily having a negative impact, but having a slight positive impact on various industries, which remains to be seen how it will pan out over the next 1 to 2 years, when actually if we enter into a zone of hyperinflation, when it will start having an impact. Whether we'll get into that zone or not is something which remains to be seen.
Right. So there are two actually questions that comes to my mind listening to your answer. One is, you said that FMCG companies are actually passing on the cost to consumers, and we have seen a few FMCG companies increasing the ticket size of their products. Now, how does it impact the demand here? Because here, consumer demand is very, very crucial now, because the second wave that had hit India in the month of March and April, that had eaten a bit of the consumer demand pie, and what we had seen, the pent-up demand in December and in October, November, that was slightly declining. That is my first question on the demand, consumer demand side. And secondly, about the interest rate. The interest rates, a lot of economies are penciling in a hike in the interest rates by RBI by end of December, or if not December, by then end of fiscal year 2022. So according to you, how does the interest rate hike impact overall markets? Because right now we are in a very, very ultra low interest rate scenario.
Let's look at the demand side of things, and if we put some historical precedence to this, of how the demand scenario has panned out in the wake of higher prices of products, right? So actually, the answer to this is not very, very straightforward. One is that FMCG products are typically low ticket size in terms of them being a percentage of people's disposable income, or a percentage of the overall household spending is not very, very significant. How much do you spend on soap? Let's say a soap costs 25 rupees. A 1 rupee price hike is a 4% increase. But that whether in absolute terms, it is a 4%, and 2 rupees is probably 8% price hike, right? So, which I think is not very, very significant from an end customer perspective. So from a low ticket product perspective, what historical precedence indicates is that there has not been much of impact with regards to demand. If you look at the time frames of around 2012, 13, 14, when inflation used to be in the range of around 13%, 14%, and the price hikes for FMCG companies used to be 13-14%, there would be a decline in volume growth, right? From volume growth, which used to be, let's say, 12%, would come down to around 5-6%. But there would still be growth, right? There would not be a demand destruction which would happen. There can be some categories, let's say, like categories like paints, which are a little more sensitive because the ticket size tends to be larger. But even in categories like paint, also the labor cost is a much, much higher component, and the pinch that customers feel because of higher product prices is slightly less. So it depends on the industry, how they will take the price hikes and what they will do. My sense is that I'm fairly confident that FMCG companies will be able to pass on the input costs with a lag. It takes some time for them to pass it on. It does not happen immediately because there is inventory in the channel which needs to be consumed first, and then they take price hikes. And more importantly, what also happens is that during periods of price hikes, the channel tends to accumulate inventory also, right? Because they are able to sell the old inventory at higher price, so that the movement is actually much faster in the FMCG industry. So my sense is that FMCG, I'm fairly confident, will be able to manage the input costs with a lag. It should not be a huge challenge. And also where current input costs stand, I think they are manageable. Second is with regards to the inflation. I think that is something which is very, very tricky because, see, one aspect that we are talking about is crude. But inflation is a summation of multiple product categories.
Yeah, of course. The food prices also gets included.
Food is, of course, a large component. But if I were to just look at core inflation, which is ex crude and food, what happens is that when crude prices go up, they also result in an indirect effect with regards to the other product prices moving up. For example, if I have to travel to work using a auto rickshaw and the price goes up, so I will need probably a higher wage for my service to be rendered to my company. So I will probably demand a wage hike, and eventually it will start resulting in a wage hike. So my sense is that from that perspective, how the core inflation moves up is something which is going to be very, very interesting. Right now, the core inflation is moving up, and that is probably having a positive impact on the economy. However, the challenge will be that when it gets to be in a zone where things become like really worrying, where things are going to get overheated, and resulting in a stagflation kind of a scenario where the higher prices are actually inhibiting the overall demand scenario. Right now, I think classic economics says that higher prices means higher supply. There is going to be increase in supply and overall increase in, I would say that economic growth. But after a certain point, it starts resulting in a significant stagflation kind of a scenario. Have we reached that? Probably the answer to that is no. Whether Q4 of FY22 will be the scenario, it is something which remains to be seen. And my sense is that we could get there by FY22. Q4 is very, very likely. And that's when we would start seeing increase in interest rates and all those things starting to play out. Am I very sure about this thing playing out? I would say that I'm not very, very sure, because what is also happening is that as prices also move up, there will also be increase in supply. And whenever there is an increase in supply, that also means that the prices will not start going up further. So it's a very, very tricky scenario. We are coming out of lockdowns where there were supply side disruptions. Price increases are happening, but they have been supply led. But when supply side starts improving, the prices will also start getting slightly tamed. So my sense here is that I think the next 3 to 6 months are going to be very, very crucial. The festival season will be a critical indicator, because that's when the demand will pick up quite significantly. And let's say the Diwali festival season, by then we would have seen a complete unlock happening of the economies of not just India, but all around the world, or a significant portion of unlocking would have happened. I think demand scenario would be at peak. And what inflation trajectory will it be then, I think will be a key determinant of kind of price hikes or the interest rate hikes that are going to result in subsequent months. So that is the scenario. Till then, we'll have to wait and watch out for demand versus supply playing out, catch up versus miss kind of a game. So I think that's something which remains to be seen. So I would be very, very hawkish on the watching the festival season demand and the price scenario playing out. And if that gets out of hand, then we are in for price hikes from December or even from November, December, and probably more hikes in the Q4 of this year, fiscal year.
Okay, but what about this quarter, June quarters? And in June quarter, half of the country was in lockdown. There were partial lockdowns in few states. Do you think that corporate earnings in the first quarter will have a similar kind of profit that we saw in the March quarter? Or do you think that there would be some few pockets of strength and there would be laggards like it is expected that autos may not show that kind of promising business?
So again, this is something which is going to be very, very interesting to watch out for the Q1 FY22 numbers. So when I were to look at our own estimates across various sectors, so there are sectors where there is the profit growth is still going to be reasonable on a QOQ basis. For example, IT sector, which is a very large contributor, the profit growth is going to be reasonable. BFSI, which is the banking sector, I don't see a huge challenge in terms of how the profit numbers are going to pan out. We have seen some bit of slowdown, but I feel that the profit numbers might still be manageable in this quarter, right? So if you look at the sectoral breakup, there is one is a very large component is a BFSI, which is the banking space. Then, of course, there is the oil and gas space, which is a very, very large component. Then follow that up with IT. Then there will be sectors like autos and all, which will be important, right? If I were to look at, let's say, the critical sectors like IT, BFSI, right? So I think there is not going to be a huge impact in terms of the profit numbers immediately. What kind of provisions banks will have to take, we'll have to see that. But I think at this point in time, it may be manageable to my extent. So overall, from a profit perspective, on a sequential basis, Q4 FY21, Q1 FY22 versus Q4 FY21, we would probably see a 5% kind of a compression in earnings, maybe not much higher than that, maybe 5%, maybe 10%. But I think there is going to be decent profit numbers still. On a YOI basis, considering the base is not at all comparable and it was a lockdown, complete lockdown quarter in Q1 FY21, the earnings growth will be more than 100%.
Yeah, that's because of the low base.
But even if I were to compare with Q1 FY20, right, which is probably the quarter
before
where,
COVID,
pre-COVID quarter FY20. So if I were to even look at that quarter also, probably the compression in earnings may not be very, very significant, or maybe it just might be there, right? So from a results perspective or from the earnings scenario perspective, I'm not too bearish at this point in time.
Okay. But what about the overall markets? We have hit multiple record highs at the month of July even. And overall, even starting from the beginning of this year, or even if we go back to March from last year until now, we have made significant rally and significant profits. But what from here, where are we headed? I know that there are risks and challenges. But besides that, where do you think markets would be headed either by the end of 2022 or next year?
So from our perspective, our target for December 2021 is 17,400 for Nifty. So we are still expecting the markets to head higher. We have our simple logic is based on that the earnings for FY22 will be very, very strong. So we are looking at a 30% earnings growth. Even FY21 post-COVID, post-pandemic and or rather a pandemic year, there was a 15% in earnings growth for the benchmark Nifty, right? So we ended the year at around 534 rupees EPS, which was a healthy 15% growth on FY20, right? Even with the Q1 washout quarter, right? So that gives some perspective, right? So if FY22 will be a 30% growth and probably the best ever year in terms of corporate profitability, right? And we are looking at a fairly strong balance sheet across industry. If you go back to years like 2015, 16, 17, where earnings growth used to be tepid, but it used to result from major challenges emanating out of the balance sheets, right, of banks, of the financial services, right, so on and so forth. The ICICI Bank used to have close to around 8 to 9% gross NPAs, and net NPAs used to be in the range of around 5% odd. So from that perspective, where we are less than 2% NPAs across the system, GNPAs across the major banking system, which is, let's say, the private banks like Axis, ICICI, even SBI put together. We and of course, the likes of HDFC and all have no major challenges of NPAs. They might have challenges with regards to growth, but we are seeing a fairly strong balance sheet scenario in this market. And also, so many companies have raised capital. There is a lot of liquidity which is there with corporate India now, right? So many IPOs have come. People have done QIPs, so on and so forth. So the balance sheet strength is there, which is what will mean that the valuation multiples will sustain at reasonably high levels. So I'm just putting these things into perspective. One, we are looking at a very, very strong earnings trajectory, point number one. Point number two, we are looking at a much, much stronger balance sheet than the last decade. From, let's say, 2011 to 2020 was when the balance sheets were quite battered. We're looking at a stronger balance sheets right now, which means the higher multiples are likely to sustain. And if the earnings growth manifests or is achieved, we are likely to see the market still going up, right? So market looks at these factors, right? Earnings growth and quality of earnings. If earnings go strong and the quality of earnings, which is what is indicated by the strength in balance sheet, I think the multiples will sustain. So that's our base case scenario for the markets.
Right. So on that note, Naveed, thanks a lot for taking time out for this conversation. And we wish you good health. Thanks once again.
Thank you, Nasreen.
For feedback, you can write to me at nasreen.s@lifemint.com or you can reach out to me on Twitter at Nasreen Story. You can also reach out to us at HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And to listen to more podcasts like this, you need to log on to www.htsmartcast.com.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.